This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 155. We're continuing our watch through of the Die Hard franchise. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, so we made it to part two, Die Hard 2 from 1990. Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Die Hard 2?
It's been a while. This one is the one I've seen the second least amount of times. There's one that I've seen less. We haven't gotten to it yet. I'll just leave it at that. But it's been a while. I don't revisit this one that much. Not because it's, well, we're going to talk about it. But yeah, I don't even know the last time I saw it. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't see this one as much, honestly. And there is another one down the line that it goes in hand with this one. It's a sequel to this one. If you want to really say. But honestly, the last time I really seen this was like, oh man, close to 7 years ago. Maybe I could say the others are more of a watch through more than this one. This one is just, but yeah, look, with that said, we're going to give you guys some critic scores, what they had to say about this film, and then right into our actual movie review. So with that said, no further ado, Rotten Tomato scores for Die Hard 2 from 1998.
Yeah, Die Hard 2. All right. So the scores are still pretty good. I mean, not as incredible as the first one. Die Hard 2 sits with the audience or critic score of 69%. Not terrible for an action film. And then the audience score is almost the same, 70%. So very close, 69 and 70. Not the heights of the first one, but for like an action movie sequel, not terrible. There's worse.
Dude, it's like a likable. It's likable between the critics and the audience. But we're going to let you guys know because we're going to throw all this stuff out the window. Yeah. And we're going to give you guys our actual movie review of Die Hard 2 once we sat down and watched this movie and see how it goes. Sorry, Nate. Let's start it off with John McClane, lead character played by Bruce Willis.
All right. Well, look, I just want to preface this with every time I do watch this movie, I don't figure out why I don't watch it that much. Because I kind of like this movie. I think it's good. John McClane, I like him a lot still. I think Bruce Willis, this one, I will say, it leans a little more into the humor than the first one does. You know, the first one has some like one-liners and stuff like that. But it's more of a straight-up action movie. This one, this one is also a straight-up action movie, but there is a bit more humor in this one than in the first one. And mostly John McClane, I think this was, you know, especially 1990, it was that point where I think the action stars was just coming into the 90s, you know, and they felt like all these characters had to have like more one-liners and things like that. So his dialogue is a little more heavy in that regard, but still good. But Bruce Willis is just the man in these movies. I don't think I'm going to change my score until we get to one of these other ones. I love John McClane. I love watching John McClane. I like him if he's in a building, and I like him if he's on a plane. That was a rhyme for you guys. He's awesome. I give him a 5. I don't think he's any worse in this than he is in the first one, personally.
You know, honestly, I agree with everything you said, but you know what? This might be the first time I bumped him down a bit. I didn't like this version of John McClane. He was totally different from the first movie. Yeah, you're right. He was more comedic in this one. He felt more like Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
Yeah.
I see that 90 character hero. Like, it wasn't a serious everyday man John McClane that we got from the first movie. This one was more campy. That's the word I was looking for. This is a John Campy version of John McClane. And was he the same? Yes and no. I mean, the tropes were there. He was, I mean, he's still the action, you know, person that we all like. But I thought we were going to get more of the John McClane from the first movie. We did not. It just became more of a comical version. But we do get him back in other sequels when we talk about it. But in terms of this sequel, I wasn't too thrilled with the John McClane in this one. I thought he was kind of weak in my point of view. I know you like him, but I gave him a 4. Let's get to main villain, Colonel Stewart, played by William Sadler.
Yeah, William Sadler, he's one of those actors who's like been in everything. You know what I mean? Like, you have seen this guy in a whole lot of stuff, especially in the 80s and 90s, all the way up until, I think he was like the president in Iron Man 3, not that long ago. So I like William Sadler as an actor, and I like him in this. The problem is, he's no Hans Gruber. And you're coming off of an amazing villain, and he's a little more regular. I also hate his weird intro scene where he's like doing like naked Taekwondo in his room or whatever he's doing. I always hate that part. I'm like, why is this? And why is it so long? Yeah. What is he doing? I mean, good for him. He was in great shape. I give him that. You know, the dude, he was fit. Maybe the director was just like, I want to show your body. Let's show everybody all your hard work and show your body. That's why this one's called Die Harder in the subtitle. No, but William Sadler's cool. He's fine. He's a little more, you know, military. You know, Hans Gruber was not a military guy. This is a military guy. I like him. He's a step down for me than Hans Gruber, who was perfect. I give him a 4. I think he's formidable, definitely. He's a good, like, solid action movie sequel villain. If that's how I would describe him. He ain't reinventing the wheel, but he's good.
Yeah, no. You're right. He had everything you needed in the villain. I mean, he had a plan. He executed perfectly. He fought the hero at the end on top of a wing. He shot people. So you got everything in the package. I agree. I gave him a 4 too. So he was good. I was just going to say the same thing you said. I was like, man, what's up with all these movies with butt naked yoga and Taekwondo? And I mean, our streak in this podcast is continuing with naked yoga, right? Blue Thunder.
I mean, close to 2. Remember Roadhouse? He was not naked, but he was like topless, shirtless, Taekwondo by the river. What are we watching?
We're there, bro.
People are voting for these movies. It's not our fault.
You know what? The streak continues, all right? We got more naked yoga, okay?
We
got Kurt Studer showing some butt naked scenes. So, I mean, I'm all right. I'm all up for it. Let's see if we can keep pumping them out. Let's see how much more yoga
they pumping them out.
That don't work.
Make a different term.
No. Look, with that said, look, I gave it a 4. I think he was you're right. He's not a Hans Gruber, but honestly, he's up there. Not in the category of the Mount Rushmore villains, but you know what? He held his own, and I think he deserves a 4. I agree with you. So I'll give him a 4. Action scenes.
Yeah, and you know what's funny too? Just I know we don't do always a ton of foreshadowing, but just sitting here when we talk about these, I gotta say, maybe I'll save it to the end, but I just think Die Hard has some of the best villains as far as action franchises go. Literally, and you're going to see when we review the other movies, but just off the top of my head, without having rewatched 3 or 4 or 5 yet, as a whole, they got great villains. It's like a franchise with really, really good villains. So anyway.
You're right, though, right? Because look, we did Rush Hour. Villains sucked. We did Lethal Weapon.
Some of them.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon. The only one I don't remember was Jet Li. But other than that.
And Gary Busey
in the first one. But other than that, they didn't have strong villains. Same thing with Expendables. No. You got Van Damme in part 2, Mel Gibson in part 3, but they wasn't as good as, you know, the ones that were
Eric about Roberts to in the first one. Like, yeah. Is, you know, yeah. Eric Roberts. Here, we got started off with a bang, and then the next guy was good. And then from what I remember, the next two are really good. So I just think it's good. They have good villains.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to action scenes.
All right. Action scenes. There's a lot of this. Oh, this movie's got a lot of fun action in it. So, you know, in the first movie, they were in a building, right? A sky, what's that called? A high rise. High rise. This time, we're in an airport / airplane. They're both, you know, airport-related place. And this is, these movies, this is why, especially with the first two, if you remember, or even sometimes they still do, they describe like certain action movies as Die Hard in a blank. And then you pick a new location, right? You remember Olympus Has Fallen? Everybody said, that's Die Hard in the White House. It's like the same one location. This does change. Okay, only the first two movies are really this format, but it works. They switch the location. It's again like Christmas time. We got snow. This one is probably more Christmassy than the first movie, to be honest. So maybe we're going to have to start that trend. Instead of people saying Die Hard's a Christmas movie, say Die Hard 2 is a Christmas movie. But it's fun. The action's good. Tons of shooting, explosions, a plane blowing up and him shooting into the air on an airplane seat. A little corny, which is going to knock it down a bit for me, but a very small bit. If the first one's a 5 out of 5 action, this one's just a notch under. I don't think it's as good. Like, the action's not as thrilling to me, but there's a lot of good set pieces. It's very strong. I give it a 4.5. It's like literally a notch under for me.
You know, music to my ears, my brother. Because honestly, when I was watching this movie, the action was very 90s. Oh my God. This was a 90s action film. And I said, this is actually pretty good, right? And I was like, no, this is actually pretty good action scenes for this time period. It worked. It flowed. The corridor scene, the machine guns. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, right? Then you had, him throwing the fire, follow the plane, Kabooey. I said, wow.
Yep.
I said, okay. He got to use his one line. You became, hey, motherfucker. Right?
And I was like, That's right.
Got to. And I said, okay, this is good. You had everything you needed. John McClane did everything. He beat the guy's ass on the wing. Right? Mm-hmm. Fire blew it up. Yippee Ki Yay came out. He said, yeah, applause. Woohoo. In the beginning, he shot dudes, machine guns. My man got on a snowmobile, chased him. And I said, you know what? This is pretty good elements. You got, you know, a lot of everything was into this movie. Now, was it executed well? Not much. I was like, some stuff didn't work for me, but I was like, you know, for a 90s movie, they did what they had to do and they wanted to make it more action epic than the first one, right? Because the first one was in a building and didn't have much action as much.
Good story.
But this one, it was outside. It was like, can we do with John McClane? Throw him in a snowmobile. And then from the snowmobile, let's put him in a, you know, it's funny. When I saw him get into the thing before it reminded me of GoldenEye when him and the girl was in the helicopter and she's like, mister, you know, wake up. And
he's banging his head. The girl from the laboratory. Yeah.
Yeah, Natalia or whatever it was. Yeah. She's like, mister. All right. I gave it a 4.5. I totally agree with you. This action was actually pretty good, to be honest, for a 90s movie. All right. Storyline.
All right. Now we're going to get to the little bit of weak. A little bit of weaker parts. Okay. Not terrible, but definitely weaker. The story is fine. I can't think of another word for it than it's fine. It's fine. You know, you're coming off of a movie. Me and Alex talked about Die Hard 1, and we both agreed. It's a standard kind of story, but they did enough with it to make it really good. Like, the writing was good. The villain was really good. You know, all that goes into the storyline. Here, it's like more, I don't know. I guess I'll describe it as regular. This is like a really regular action movie story. And the only reason that it's better than it should be is because Bruce Willis was the man at this time, you know, like early 90s. He was awesome. The villain is strong and there's tons of action. Because if this one had less action, or let's say as much as the first movie, it'd be not very good movie. Because the story is just okay. I give it a 3. I don't go below that because I think it's, like I said, it's like generic. And to me, you could be bad. I don't think it's bad. I just think it's generic. It doesn't really add much. It's not super interesting, but it's not like egregiously bad. Nothing's in it that's like horrible. It just falls right in the middle. Right in the middle is a 3.
Yeah, look, when it comes to storyline, I gave it a flat 2. it's a decent storyline.
Yeah.
I will say this storyline is actually pretty weak. I mean, let's just be honest with you. It's not a fun storyline. It's boring at times. I'm going to be honest with you. This is some boring parts.
This one drags more than the first one.
They had a lot of stupid scenes with, what's his name? Richard Thorne, which I was like, this is so useless. And I didn't like it. I was like, you know what? It had moments. And I was like, this is okay. But it didn't work for me. I was like, this is not a good movie at all for me to give it a 2 in terms of storyline. I didn't enjoy this storyline at all. And it reminded me of 24, the final season when they had, there was one of the seasons, I don't know which season it was the same freaking thing that they could control planes and do this and do that. And it's another stupid storyline. I'm like, come on. Like, I don't know. To me, this is weak. It's just a weak
storyline. One I agree with you too is like, especially at the early 90s, whenever there's like a technology-based storyline, it's always kind of not the best because they didn't have like a lot of that technology it was like ahead of them. So they didn't really, remember the movie The Net? With Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
It's like unwatchable now. It's unwatchable because like the net is the internet and it's like all this, it's so stupid. This has like this and like Assassins. Remember Assassins with the chat? Yeah, yeah. It's like this anytime they do technology too early in the 90s is usually pretty bad.
All right. So let's get right into the overall.
Overall. So you know, this movie directed by Rennie Harlan, who, if you don't know Rennie Harlan, he is what I would refer to as a journeyman. He's like a journeyman action director. He did like Cliffhanger. He did the other movie we watched that he did was Rennie Harlan. We did The Long Kiss Goodnight. He did that one. Like, he's okay. Mm-hmm. And this movie just feels like a Rennie Harlan film. John McTiernan, a top tier action director versus Rennie Harlan. You're right. I agree with a lot of your points about the storyline. I kind of just put here in the overall. I think the movie's fine. I think it's good. I think Die Hard is great. And this is a good sequel. Not a great sequel. Not on par, but good. Entertaining. I had a good time. It does drag a little bit, which brings it down a bit. The storyline's not as good, but It's enough fun. I give it a 3.5. I think it's solid. I think it's a solid sequel. I still like watching the, you know, the hero and the villain are a lot of fun and tons of action. So for me, it works out to a 7, a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because when it comes to the overall, this movie is acceptable. It's an acceptable sequel, meaning it's better than other sequels that I've seen out there as a number two, right? Is it in the category of the Lethal Weapon 2 and the Rambo 2s? I mean, Rambo 2, I think, to me, would be better than this one. Terminator 2 is superior than all of them. But yes. I think this one could hold its ground compared to other action sequels out there. I enjoyed this one. Is this one better than Rush Hour 2? No, better because
Transporter 2?
Yeah, well, I think it's better than Transporter 2. I'm going to be really honest with you.
I remember.
This one was way better. But it's an acceptable sequel. You understand what I mean? Like, and I like it. I enjoyed it for what it was. I agree with you. I'm not going with the 3.5, but I gave it a 3 for good. I think this is a good, solid sequel. If I had to do a marathon, which that's what we're doing, I could watch 2. It's bearable.
Yeah.
Okay, it's bearable. But am I going to slap this shit on if I went on in to see a Lethal Weapon thon? Nah, I will go maybe one and the other and the other. And then that's it.
One and then the other and then the other. Yeah. I know what you're saying without you saying it. I know.
Yeah. So with me, this is acceptable. Okay. This is like the Bourne legacy of the Bourne franchise.
It's kind of true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those you can sit through if you want to. But I agree with you. It's a full-fledged Christmas movie. Let me just tell you, for those people out there, this is a full-fledged Christmas movie. But with that said, I gave it a 3. You gave it a 3.5. Total points, Nate.
Total points for me comes out to a 20 out of 25. A good start. A good start to this franchise. Yeah, I love Die Hard. And I enjoy Die Hard 2 for what it is. A good sequel. Not great. Good.
Look, I agree with you. I gave it a 17.5. I have fun with this for what it was. It's enjoyable. It's fun, but I think we're going to start getting into the good stuff throughout. But look, with that said, this is an actual acceptable sequel for that. So, Nate, what is coming up next?
All right. So, of course, next we have this is it. You guys are very lucky. We got double Bruce Willis week this week with our 90s, our River of Time. You know, we're halfway through it and we're in 1990s. And the Fifth Element, a little Luc Besson movie we're going to be reviewing. And then, of course, next week, we go on John McTiernan's back, and we are going to be doing some Die Hard with a Vengeance, which I won't lie, I'm very excited to watch. Very excited. So Die Hard with a Vengeance, that's going to be next week.
All right, guys. So there you have it. If you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to YouTube.com/GeeksAndFlicks for the video version of the podcast. Or now you can go to our official website with the GeeksAndFlicks.com. You have all the podcasts there from the audio, video, simultaneous episodes. Until episode 77, which I just released today, which is Rush Hour 2. And then the videos will be going on every week until I catch up with 155. By then, it'll be more than that. But other than that, geeksandflicks.com is your central hub for anything Geeks and Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nate Flix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.